To Chichi's question, depending on how the word is used, there is certainly a sense in which we can give up on the Holy Spirit, and that looks like losing hope in his work and his promises to us. So, for example, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 particularly, the writer is writing to a bunch of Christians who are tempted to lose hope in the sufficiency of Christ for salvation and for life. And they are looking at other things to help them. And Paul, well, the writer says here in verse 35, therefore, do not throw away your confidence or your hope, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance. You have to, the way I define endurance in the New Testament, you have to keep holding on to God, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But for now, my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, if he turns around, if he gives up, if he loses hope, my soul has no pleasure in him. So it's not that it's justifiable to lose hope in God. It's never justifiable, because God is the truth. But we do. Our hands shrivel, as the writer to the Hebrews says. We in the midst of trial, when the Holy Spirit is trying to perfect us, we often have cause to often question him when we shouldn't, and trust him. And so it's possible, as a believer, you think of someone who maybe is struggling, a believer, truly born again, who is struggling with a besetting sin, and they've been trying. But they've become so discouraged, and Satan has come in and says, you will never change. This is how you're going to continue. What? Just give up. And so that person stops reading their Bible. They stop praying. They stop fellowshipping with the saints. They begin to despise the church because they're like, I'm not changing. When the scripture says, if the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies. Not giving up means, even though I'm not seeing the fruit, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to wait for him to come. In fact, you're not just going to wait for him to come. You're going to believe he's already working. And you're going to long for more. So as believers, it's entirely relevant to hear, do not give up. Do not lose hope. Because a lot of the time, the reason why you're not reading your Bible, the reason why you're not praying, the reason why you're not eager in the fellowship of the saints, is because perhaps as a believer, you've lost hope somehow. Or you don't really believe as much as you should believe that the one who created the universe is recreating you. And he says, just wait and trust and stay where I've told you to stay. So to answer the question, that's how I would. That's why the prayer of Psalm 139 is always relevant. Search my heart. Where am I not believing? Where am I giving up hope? Where have I... Somewhere in my head, become skeptical and reveal it to me. So, yes.
Okay, so we need to finish up. So, Chichi, a quick response to your question. And then I'll share. So, Chichi, for me, prayer is where my thought went when you asked your question. Prayerlessness. Because the scripture says that continue in the praying the Holy Spirit. And then, Oche, your question was about spiritual gifts. My response will mean that at lunch we'll have to continue talking, because I actually don't see, that there's, these are spiritual gifts and these are natural gifts. So what we read in Exodus about Bezalel, artistic design, embroidery, those were given by the Holy Spirit. So it's spiritual gifts, we say natural. In the same way, gifts that are mentioned in the New Testament, all from the Holy Spirit, whether it's administration, teaching, encouragement, all of these from the Holy Spirit. So the I as you said, maybe we'll cover it more in the retreat, but one question that you said, Christians may be thinking, how do I know my my gift? Or I would rather say gifts, because usually the Spirit gives lots of a variety of gifts. So how do I know gifts? The best advice I've heard is three things quickly. Is one, so what are you actually able to do? That's a starting point. Are you able to teach or sing? Are you able to encourage people? That's one. What are you actually able to do? The second one is, what are your opportunities for service? Because that's another way to, you find an opportunity, you just serve. You serve because the Lord opens those opportunities. And the third one is, what kind of counsel, what godly counsel are you getting? Because that can show you whether you actually have that gift. So if I go and start singing with the choir, Paul will immediately make it clear to me that I don't have that gift. Let me round up. I was saying, important point, please. As we are going through this retreat, one of the things that I pray will be a result is that we keep in mind what I was saying was the way the Spirit's work is apparent everywhere. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of power because of His life-giving power in creation and the beauty we see in creation. Man and woman, all other creation. He's the Spirit of power because of His creative power, right, in giving gifts and talents and sustaining and growing those gifts and developing them. And He's the Spirit of power because ultimately He's powerful enough to take on sin, right, that damaged the world and us, and to actively oppose it and to conquer it, first by raising Jesus from the grave, by descending on the church and empowering the church for service. Imagine He's indwelling each and every believer who has ever lived, giving all of that power forever. Giving all of that power forever so that this good news would spread and many sons and daughters would come to glory, a glory that will be revealed powerfully, right, in the final recreation when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Amen.
Very brief evening about how